This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our new summer music series called Setlist. We invited Wisconsin artists into the WPR studios for interviews and exclusive musical performances. You can hear them every Friday at this time until Labor Day weekend. Today's featured band, Field Report, hails from Milwaukee and has toured in support of artists like Jeff Tweedy, Amy Mann, and Counting Crows. The band's songwriter and frontman, Chris Porterfield, recently sat down with us in the WPR studio to play some songs, tell us why he got back into playing music, and explain the delicate balance of touring and regular home life. Chris, thanks a lot for joining us here in the studio.
Rob, it's a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
So, new album, Marigolden. So, I'm hearing Marigold and Golden. What are you conjuring up with that title?
You just nailed it, man. it's a word that just kind of came to us while we were making it, and it became kind of the umbrella that a lot of the songs could live comfortably under. But, you know, marigolds up here in Wisconsin, sort of a hardy plant, have sort of a rich, sort of autumnal color. They kind of stink. They're not so floral. They're a little bit more pungent. Mm-hmm. They're not sort of the frail flowers. They're sort of the hardy ones. But even at the end of the season, you know, winter's still so cold that they die and you got to dig them up. And that's kind of the thing, is you got to dig them up and decide if you want to do it again. And then if you do, you got to replant them. And so it's kind of a play on being golden or being anointed or blessed somehow. You know, it's sort of an ugly, earthy, loamy take on the opposite of golden.
I don't know that I can be raised to go what you need.
You're away from home a lot, and this comes up in your lyrics. Do you have an ambivalence? I mean, obviously you love doing the music, but it takes you away.
It does take you away, and it's a weird thing. It's sort of this other life, and it took me a while to figure out that balance. I've been touring and doing music full-time for maybe 3 or 4 years now, and I didn't figure out that balance at first.
How do you make that balance?
Well, there's no cheap way to figure it out. You just kind of have to slog through it, I think. Just trying to be present in every situation, I think, is a good life lesson for all of us, no matter what our vocation is.
And I'm hearing things like, in effect, I'm not sure home is going to be like it was when I left. I'm not sure if people are going to see me the same way. I'm going to see home the same way. It's like a mythic theme, almost.
It really is. And, yeah, you know, the way to learn about the world is to go out into it, and then it follows you back wherever you go, and it sort of changes your whole paradigm. You know, you always pine for the people that you love and care about, and then when you get there, you know, life isn't always like a movie where everything's tied up in a nice closing sequence. You know, you got to keep living after the closing sequence, too.
Leave the lights on, because it might be nighttime when I get there, but I'm on my
I am kind of a homebody. I never could imagine living, but you know, touring, living life on the road. Could you imagine not doing that?
Boy, it's become a part of my life, a deep part of it. No, I hope I don't ever have to stop doing it. I like to continue doing it smarter and easier, but the act of getting out and being in front of people who have chosen to join you on that given evening, it's a pretty heady honor, and I love doing it.
And the body remembers what the mind forgets. It archives every heartbreak, every cigarette. And these reset bones, they might not hold, but they might yet.
Now, one thing that's changed in some of the shows you've been doing, you've played before some pretty big names, Counting Crows, Amy Mann, Emmylou Harris. Is there something different about, you know, playing a local show in Wisconsin versus, you know, being up in front of a big name like that?
You know, you learn something from every show. And, yeah, it's been a thrill being able to share stages with some people whose work I've admired for my whole life. We just did a bunch of European dates with Jeff Tweedy from Wilco in January. And you learn from these people because they've learned it on their own and from other people too, you know? You do something long enough and you just figure out how to get better at it.
And the car shall be blue, blue like the one in the photo of your father and you, blue like the label on the beer you always choose, blue like me and you, Michelle.
Getting back to your latest album, another theme that comes out, emerges in songs, is your relationship with alcohol and alcohol and your music. And I use the word emerge. Did it just kind of come up, or did you go in consciously thinking, I'm going to write about alcohol in on this album?
It was, you know, it wasn't a conscious thing, really. But it turns out that I'd been writing about it all along. You know, everybody's got a different relationship with alcohol, and especially in the state of Wisconsin. In particular, we have sort of a culturally unique, I've discovered as I've traveled, relationship with alcohol. And that culture can create problems for some of the people that live in Wisconsin. And it turns out I was one of those people. I'll never forget, I was at a show in somewhere in New Mexico, maybe, I think it was. And somebody after the show came up and asked me, like, so is it you or somebody close to you that's the addict that you're talking about? And I was gobsmacked. I didn't know what to do with that, you know. Several drinks deep, drink in hand, talking to a stranger, assessing my art and my life through the lens of my art in ways that I had never considered. And so it had presented more problems than solutions for me, but it all kind of came to a head right about the time that this series of songs was being completed and getting ready to go into the studio. So yeah, some of the songs were pre-drinking, some of the songs were post-drinking.
Wow.
But it's been a really good thing in my life and in my work. I'm pleased that I've been public about it because I've had a chance to interact with other people who've appreciated sharing my experiences and their experiences with me, and just providing a little solidarity in what can be a pretty wet place to live.
Well, Wisconsin, yeah, and playing music too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
oh, yeah.
Most shows are at bars or places that serve alcohol. It's just natural for a lot of the musicians and audience to drink before, during, and after the set. Is it hard? Is it a temptation, like, to have that present all the time?
It took me a while to figure out how to perform and write and be around all of it, but I figured out how to do it now pretty well. It's not an easy shift, but if you're out there and you're thinking that maybe this is kind of sounding like you, maybe have a think about it and talk to somebody. And, you know, there's resources out there, and you are far from alone.
I've been 2 weeks dry in a bar every night. I've been passing coffee, quinine and lime. Yeah, the fog's been lifting and I'm doing all right. But I still can't look nobody in the eye.
Well, let's go back to Eau Claire now. You started there. You moved to Milwaukee more recently. Do you still have strong ties to this big music scene in Eau Claire?
Yeah. I still keep in touch with a lot of people that have been there or are there now. We get back a few times a year, and I'm really excited about the festival that's happening there this summer.
Yeah, the Eau Claire's festival, you're playing there.
Mm-hmm.
Are you part of the planning stages at all? I know they're bringing a lot of people in to talk about how this gets rolling.
Oh, no, I'm not.
I'm
not hiring food trucks or you know, setting up outhouses or anything like that. But
That was part of the band's rider for that. you only play if you get to set up the porta-johns.
Well, that's the nice thing about this is, like, a lot of times band puts on festival, you know, there's that kind of thing happening, and everybody, it's that kind of team effort. But this one seems to be a slightly different team effort. They're bringing in some people that can really execute on a level that is sort of a greater scope than just sort of a backyard operation. And it's allowing Justin Vernon and some of the other folks who are planning this to really just generate ideas and have some help in executing those. And so since it is sort of artist-driven, there's going to be a lot of really cool, maybe unorthodox things happening. Like I said, I'm not in the planning stages, but I'm close enough to the circle to hear things. And it's going to be really cool to be able to share that part of the state with people from really all over the world. I mean, I've been touring this year for pretty much since January, just about nonstop. And I swear, just about every night in any given city, somebody will come up to me at the end of the show and say, "Man, can't wait for Eau Claire."
Now the next thing I know, I'm on your back with a suitcase full of family, but double and back. Every bar we chose to pass on.
What was it like moving from being an Eau Claire-based music guy to a Milwaukee-based musician?
It was different. The Eau Claire community is a little smaller, and it was really tight-knit. But by the time that I left Eau Claire, a lot of the people that I had come up with had also kind of spread out across the country. And so there weren't as many personal ties holding me there. And I went to school at University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire and met a woman from Milwaukee at school there, and she graduated and moved back home. I followed her to Milwaukee and got married. And I was finished with music at that point. Like, I was going to be a grown-up. And I was for a while. I got a job at Marquette University and worked in student affairs for 6 years and just kind of plugged into Milwaukee and marriage and adulthood and white picket fence and small dog and mortgage and all that. And I think I was pining for some of the vibe and the fellowship and the energy of Eau Claire and missing that and having that void in my life when I actually started writing on my own in Milwaukee. And now I'm plugged into Milwaukee, and I love it dearly, and it is my home. A wonderful community of people making and doing fantastic things, and I'm very proud of Milwaukee.
What's next? What are some of your future plans? Another album? Another project?
Yeah, I'm beginning to write for the next record. We'll finish touring out on Marigold in this summer, and then I've got some solo touring in the fall. And then we'll see where we're at and see if it's time to make a record.
All right, maybe spend some time at home that month.
Maybe some time at home.
Chris, thanks a lot for coming up to the studio.
My pleasure, thanks.
Leave the lights on, cause it might be nighttime when I get there, but I'm on my way home. Leave the lights on, cause it might be nighttime when I get there, but I'm on my way home. I'm on my way. I'm on my way home.
That was Milwaukee band Field Report. They're playing this weekend at the Eau Claire's Music Festival and August 1st at the Somerset Amphitheater. You can find a complete list of the band's tour dates at fieldreportmusic.com. Our Setlist Summer Music Series airs on Central Time each Friday at 4:15 through early September. For more about Field Report and other featured artists, including songs and videos of their exclusive performances at our WPR studio, head over to wpr.org/setlist. A lot of great music to be found there. Next Friday on Setlist, we'll feature the Madison psychedelic rock band Dolores. I'm Rob Ferret. This is Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.